Hello and welcome back to the Existential Echo Chamber podcast. So for those of you who are new to the podcast, if this is your first episode, I would like to welcome you. You may notice if you click through the feed wherever you're listening that a lot of these episodes so far have been me reading posts from a blog. The blog is a blog that I started called the Existential Echo Chamber, and it's really designed to sort of track my own personal journey away from the evangelical faith I was raised in to a less traditional philosophical religious mindset. And so most of the posts so far are about why I stopped believing. We haven't gotten too far into what I actually do think or believe, but I want to let you know that while I hope you certainly do enjoy the blog post and they will continue to be part of the podcast is going to be so much more than that. So if you're interested in philosophy, religion, history, and origin of ideas and beliefs, that's wonderful, because we're going to always keep that as a filter, a lens, sort of, as we transition and talk about other things. But we are absolutely going to be doing movie reviews. We're going to talk about pop culture, video games. We're going to talk about politics, the election, all sorts of things. I'm going to have interviews with people. And the whole point of the echo chamber is that we don't want to live in an echo chamber. We want to talk out these important ideas with one another. We want to learn what other people believe and why they believe it. And we want to challenge beliefs and hold everything up to a fire and really see what is right and what is wrong. So we're trying to collectively figure out what the truth is. And if you are interested in those types of big picture discussions, but you're also interested in pop culture, then you have found the right podcast for you. I have some interesting news. We are actually, this is the end of the initial series. This is the post that will catch us up. The entirety, every word of the blog will now officially be recorded here, available to be listened to on the go. So I'm very excited about getting this part of the podcast off the ground and complete, and I will continue to add additional posts from the blog as I write them. Now that I'm doing the podcast, I'll be spending a little bit more time on the podcast, but I will certainly still be contributing to the blog as well. So today's post is, it's called The Missing Years of Jesus. It was written primarily for a specific reason. I actually had someone who's a friend and who reads the blog actually requested it, that I tackle the topic of what Jesus was doing during this the so-called missing years of his life. So this was written on May the 10th, just last week. So it's the most recent blog post. So without further ado, I will read this, and I hope you enjoy. The Missing Years of Jesus. So this post will offer a brief summary of how most historians of early Christianity would answer one of the commonly asked questions about Jesus. The question deals with the so-called missing years of Jesus from the time he was a child until the beginning of his public ministry around the year 30, a gap of roughly 18 years. If we accept Luke's story of Jesus teaching in the temple at age 12, that is. Or the gap could really be 30 years, depending on the tradition one chooses as a framework for understanding the life of Jesus. The answers provided in this post are not exhaustive, and they do not reflect every single scholarly opinion regarding this frequently asked question. You're not going to hear anything super new or insightful. Most of what I'm going to talk about, you could probably find just through a quick Google search. I know that some of what I talk about I know this because I've seen it, is actually mentioned on Wikipedia in an article about the missing years of Jesus. So, again, you know, I'm not a scholar. I'm just passing along ideas that are readily available for people who do research, you know, things that I've learned from my own years of independent research and the historical underpinnings of my former faith. I would encourage you to keep an open mind, question everything, as always, and really research these questions for yourself. Perhaps this introduction to the topic will provide you with a solid jumping-off point for your own investigation. So what was Jesus doing during his missing years? Jesus of Nazareth was born sometime around the year 4 BCE. According to tradition, he was born in Bethlehem. According to history, he was raised in the small rural town of Nazareth in the northern backwater of Galilee. Some traditions indicate he and his father were day laborers, perhaps carpenters, perhaps stonemasons. He was a devout Torah-observant Jew living in Roman-occupied Judea some 40 years prior to the disastrous Jewish war with Rome. Jesus belonged to an apocalyptic sect of Judaism that preached the imminent end of the present age, occasioned by God's supernatural deliverance from the oppression of Rome and the establishment of a utopian kingdom on earth. We do not know for certain, one way or the other, whether or not Jesus' apocalyptic theology was influenced by his parents, but there is some evidence that it probably was not. It seems that Jesus may have converted to this line of thinking after encountering the preaching of John the Baptist sometime in the early 20s of the Common Era, when Jesus was roughly 25 years of age. Now, it's impossible to know for sure. We know that Jesus began his own apocalyptic ministry sometime later and was executed for treason under Judean governor Pontius Pilate sometime around the year 30 of the Common Era. Historically speaking, we don't know much else about Jesus with any high degree of certainty. It has been proposed by numerous other traditions, and occasionally by scholars, that Jesus traveled extensively during his lifetime and learned spiritual wisdom from a wide variety of sources before returning home to begin his ministry. These stories, some of which are quite ancient, sprang up as a means of filling in a gap in the traditional narrative of the life of Jesus. Our earliest gospel, Mark, written sometime around 70, starts with an adult Jesus at the outset of his ministry. So too does what is most likely our latest gospel, John, written near the end of the first century, perhaps around 95 CE. Matthew, written perhaps a decade after Mark, reports that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and lived in Egypt for a few years before the family returned and settled in Nazareth, but then skips forward in time to the adult Jesus preparing to begin his ministry. It's only in Luke, written sometime later, that we have the story of Jesus astonishing the priests in the temple at Jerusalem as a particularly sharp 12-year-old. Even in Luke, after this event, the story moves forward in time nearly two decades. While there are some later 2nd and 3rd century non-canonical gospels that provide some interesting and even amusing accounts of Jesus as a child, these are not considered to be historically reliable accounts, and none of them offer many detailed accounts of the so-called missing years. So what was the historical Jesus up to during his teenage and early adult years? Is there really a significance to the gap in the narrative? Well, whether or not the gap in the story of Jesus between his childhood and his adult life is particularly worth analyzing is sort of in the eye of the beholder, so to speak. While it is true that the Gospels do not talk about the middle decades of Jesus' life, it's also true that Jesus, as a normal working-class Jew living in the backwater of Nazareth, would have gone to work, probably with his father, around age 13. He was most likely a day laborer. Perhaps he traveled around the Galilee to nearby towns finding work. Perhaps he made trips to Sepphoris, a somewhat large, heavily diverse town not far from Nazareth, where work would have been easy to come by for a skilled laborer. Maybe he learned bits and pieces of Greek during those visits and was exposed to Hellenistic culture. Maybe he had some non-Jewish acquaintances or business associates that he picked up bits and pieces of Greco-Roman thought from. None of these possibilities is out of the question, historically speaking. There simply isn't much to go on, historically. Jesus, to virtually everybody who encountered him prior to his ministry, was just an average guy. But what if some of the more imaginative claims, could they have some basis in reality? Could the legends be inspired by actual events? Some scholars have suggested, given the similarities in apocalyptic thought between the Essenes, who were the apocalyptic Jewish sect that was contemporary with Jesus and produced the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the later ministry of Jesus, that he somehow encountered this group and spent time with them prior to returning home to begin his ministry. Following along the same track of providing theologically motivated events in a proposed chronology of the missing years, maybe Jesus studied Torah with the Pharisees. We do know of at least one other famous Galilean, the Jewish historian Josephus, who famously studied with the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. Given Nazareth's distance from the area surrounding the Dead Sea, where the Essenes like to spend most of their time, it's not overly likely that Jesus would have studied with the Essenes, though it is not out of the realm of possibility. What is more likely is that Jesus had some interactions with, and possibly was actually, originally by birth, affiliated with the Pharisees. Pharisees were dedicated to the keeping of Torah, and many embraced the restoration theology of Jesus, which taught that one day God would provide a new Messiah to restore the kingdom of David and Jerusalem. Jesus probably did not become a fanatical doomsday apocalypticist until his encounter with John the Baptist as an adult. And while he may have butted heads with the Pharisees after that point, it's more likely that the stories we get in the Gospels of Jesus's numerous run-ins with the Pharisees, his rivalry with the Pharisees, those reflect the things that were happening to the Christian communities that produced the Gospels, you know, some 40 to 60 years later, not necessarily the historical reality that Jesus would have been situated in. But again, it's really impossible to say for certain. What about the more outlandish claims, though? For example, what should we make of the late 12th century through early 13th century Arthurian-centric legends that Jesus spent time in Britain as a child? Or the more recent scholarly argument by Gordon Strachan that Jesus may have studied with druids? Or what should we say about the mid-19th century claims that Jesus may have traveled to Asia to spend time studying Hinduism before continuing on his quest for spiritual enlightenment and learning the teachings of Buddhism in Tibetan monasteries before returning home to begin his ministry? There are other stories still. Did Jesus travel to Persia, Assyria, Greece, or Egypt as an adolescent? It turns out that these ideas largely stem from fabricated documents, misunderstandings of certain theological works, and wild speculation that virtually every mainstream scholar rejects today as being historically implausible. While it is true that there are certain parallels that can be drawn between the teachings of Jesus as recorded in the New Testament Gospels and the traditional teachings of Buddha, the most likely reason for this is that by the 19th century, Christian missionaries were openly sharing their faith, culture, and traditions with Buddhists. A form of cultural and theological syncretism naturally was found among the differing traditions. As the group found common ground, they realized that they had some ideas in common, and I think that that's really where the notion comes from. I think it is largely coincidence, in other words, that Jesus would have had some similarities to other mystics, other teachers throughout history. As interesting as it might be to imagine Jesus traveling the world, learning all sorts of mystical knowledge and synthesizing these ideas into one super narrative by which all cultures could learn the collected wisdom of East and West, it simply isn't a realistic historical idea. As Paula Fredrickson, John Dominic Crossan, Bart Ehrman, and many other scholars of early Christianity have pointed out, no serious scholarship seeks to remove Jesus from a first century Palestinian context. He was a relatively poor day laborer who would have had neither the time, means, or inclination to travel abroad, learning about religious traditions that he would have considered pagan and possibly even demonic. What these legends really tell us is that while Jesus, the Jesus of history, lived, taught, and died in Judea, the Christ of faith has transversed time and distance, touching the hearts and influencing the minds of believers, dreamers, mystics, sages, and thinkers the world over for the past two millennia.